Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. In the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. It reminds of the views that are expressed here and not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us Dr. William Hersey, who is a scientist with the Environmental Protection Agency. In fact, he is, my understanding is, the one heads the union of the Environmental Protection Agency scientists, who has, of course, been very, very concerned about the fluoridation of water. And he feels, of course, that this is extremely harmful to the people. And the fact you haven't heard this is simply a reflection, in my estimation, of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Thank you so very much for being with us.
My pleasure to be with you, Stan.
Why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit about your background and why you're concerned about water fluoridation? After all, shouldn't we be concerned about dental caries in our children?
Yeah, certainly. Let me take care of the background on myself first, and then we'll get into that. The first thing I need to do is say that I'm here representing the union, of which I'm an officer. Right now I'm vice president of the National Treasury Employees Chapter 280, which represents the professional employees at EPA headquarters. Anything I say is a union's position and doesn't necessarily reflect the position of EPA. I'm not here as a representative of EPA. That's a real important thing for me to get out of the way.
Right.
My background is I have a PhD in chemistry. I worked at Monsanto Company for 19 years in St. Louis, and then I came up to Washington to work for the Environmental Protection Agency as a senior scientist in the risk assessment area of the Toxics Office in 1981, and I've been here ever since. I helped organize the union back in the early 1980s and have been an officer, including three terms as president, ever since. We got involved in the fluoridation issue in the middle 80s when EPA was developing its drinking water standards, and an employee came to the union complaining that the science behind EPA's drinking water standards was basically a fraud, and we started looking into it then, and the deeper we got into it, the darker the whole picture got, and we've been studying this issue for a long time. And to get finally back to your question, shouldn't we be concerned about dental caries? Of course we should. The point is that putting fluoride in the drinking water does virtually nothing to reduce dental caries. If you look at cities such as San Francisco, Boston, New York, Detroit, that have been fluoridated for decades, there are still rampant dental decay problems in certain populations in those cities.
But of course,
basically the poor.
But of course, the dentists, so many of the dentists support this, you know, and they will go before city councils and before meetings and claim that this is, that there is solid scientific evidence to show that water fluoridation decreases cavities. Is there really any solid scientific evidence, or have they been lied to by their dental organization?
It's primarily the latter. The very best study that has ever been done was done by the epidemiology branch of the National Institute of Dental Research back in the late 80s and published in 1990.
Now, can you just hold that thought for a minute, because
sure,
we're going to bring some of our other stations on board, and we want them, of course, to hear the background behind this information on children's dental caries. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Dr. William Hersey, and he has a PhD in chemistry, and he is, of course, the vice president of the Union of Environmental Protection Agency, a scientist. These are the scientists who work for the government, the federal government, and, of course, do the scientific work which the Environmental Protection Agency supposedly bases their findings on. We were asking him, of course, about this fact we've been told over and over again. that water fluoridation will actually help children's caries. And he pointed out that in cities that have been fluoridated for a long period of time, that in San Francisco and in New York, where the children are drinking fluoridated water, the poor children have lots of cavities, and all the fluoridation in the world isn't going to help that. And then I asked him about scientific studies, and you were going to tell us this one scientific study and its outcome.
Yes, this is the best study, and if I may, for those listeners who have just joined us, again, make my disclaimer that I'm here representing the union's point of view on this and not EPA, so
right.
I'm not here representing EPA. That study was conducted in the late 1980s on 39,000 children nationwide by dentists trained by the National Institute of Dental Research. Results were published in 1990. It shows that the difference between children who lived all their lives in fluoridated areas and versus children who lived all their lives in non-fluoridated areas was basically 6/10 of a tooth surface out of 128 tooth surfaces theoretically saved by the fluoridation. That is to say, in fluoridated areas, the number of decayed surfaces was about 2.79 decayed surfaces, and in non-fluoridated areas, it was around 3.39 decayed surfaces. So you see a couple of points from this study. One, what you hear dentists saying and the promoter saying, fluoride prevents cavities. Well, it doesn't prevent cavities. Children who've lived all their lives in fluoridated communities, in this very best study that has ever been done on this subject, still had almost 3 decayed surfaces in their mouths, versus kids who lived in non-fluoridated communities have slightly more than 3 decayed surfaces in their mouths. It's about 6/10 out of 128 tooth surfaces.
6/10 out of 128
tooth surfaces. That's how much is saved. And for that benefit, we are running terrible risks of a number of different health...
Hold that thought right there, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. William Hersey, who represents the union of the scientists who work for the Environmental Protection Agency for the federal government. And, of course, they've done extensive studies on the effect of water fluoridation. And the benefit is minuscule, and he was pointing out that the difference between 2.9 and 3.39 surfaces out of 128 surfaces, which is pretty small, a benefit for the potential risks of ingestion of water fluoridation, social risks.
Well, starting with the risk that's most easily observed, dental fluorosis is certainly most predominant one. Dental fluorosis is a staining and mottling of the teeth that arises before the tooth erupts, before the permanent teeth erupt. There's protein material embedded in the enamel in the tooth while it's still down in the gum, and there's an enzyme that take that protein out of the enamel as the enamel essentially ripens and the tooth is ready to erupt. Fluoride interrupts that enzyme's action, and when there's too much fluoride, the teeth erupt, and not all the protein is gone, and the enamel is not essentially pure and hard when it comes out of the tooth, and therefore it can stain, mottle, and cause problems. And depending on how much excess fluoride a child has received in his early years, the worse the problem is. We're seeing now in areas, even where there's no additional fluoride in the drinking water, where drinking water is unfluoridated, they're just the normal levels, which generally run from anywhere from essentially nothing to maybe 3/10 or 4/10 of a part per million in a drinking water. Even in those areas, the dental fluorosis rate, which had been zero, is now up above 10%. And in communities which do add fluoride in the drinking water, 2/3 of the children have at least one tooth that are showing dental fluorosis, and in some areas dental fluorosis, which ranges, by the way, from very mild to which are faint to white chalky patches on the tooth to severe, which in which the tooth is pitted, chipped, severely stained. The whole tooth surface is engaged in this degenerative process. So there's a range of dental fluorosis which children can get, and the more fluoride that a child gets from drinking water, from tablets, from swallowing toothpaste as a very young child before the ability to spit out the toothpaste is fully developed, from what's called a halo effect, if they're eating foods or drinking beverages from outside of their area, if they're not in a fluoridated area, getting foods that have been processed in cities that use fluoridated drinking water, all these sources of fluoride, also there are fluoride residues on many vegetable products, add up. And like I said, the most visible toxic effect is this dental fluorosis. Now, what happens in the tooth is a mirror to what happens in the bone. Fluoride basically goes to bone after the permanent teeth have erupted. The fluoride which we ingest, which is retained, we retain about 50% of the fluoride that we ingest. About 50% is eliminated primarily through urine. The remainder is deposited principally in bone, but also in some of the soft tissues, the cartilage and tendons and ligaments and so forth, and a few other critical or called calcifying tissues, which include the pineal gland, and I'll come back to that in a bit. But the depositing of this fluoride in bone has led to increases in bone fracture. In there are about 10 out of about 20 studies that have been conducted that are good studies have shown an increase in bone fractures. And significant numbers of those, I think about 8 of those studies, show increases in hip fractures related to fluoride ingestion. And hip fractures are nothing to sneeze at. Your listeners probably are well aware of that for the elderly who suffer a hip fracture, it is a life-altering and in some cases a life-ending situation.
And now, my understanding is that some of these studies actually show up to doubling of the incidence of hip fractures in women who ingested fluoridated water when they're going through their menopause. Would that be a fair statement?
I'm not sure if the rate is that high. It may be. One of the problems with the menopausal situation is that fluoride has been used to minimize or theoretically to increase bone density and loss of calcium and the so-called osteoporosis problem. That fluoride has been used in those kinds of treatments, and indeed the bone density increases. The fluoride makes the bone denser, but it also makes it weaker, and so this is a problem.
Well, of course, I used to give it. I was an orthopedic surgeon for 40 years, but of course, what we were doing was giving large doses of calcium, large doses of vitamin D, along with small doses of fluoride. Right. And I think it was the vitamin D and calcium, if it did any good at all. But when you realize all the other harmful effects that fluoride did, and I shudder to think that we would have given this to people, but simply we were told this was the Mayo Clinic study. Everybody else was doing. If we went along with that, but the incidence of fractures is significantly increased, and we can talk more about that. But it's not just hip fractures; it's wrist fractures and all the other
fractures that involve older
people. There doesn't seem to be much question at all, though, that fluoride does make the bone more brittle. Is there?
That's correct. It does make weaker bone. And I was at a conference this summer on fluoride effects, and we heard from a neurosurgeon that the incidence of spinal stenosis it seems to have skyrocketed over the last several decades, and which is a narrowing of the space in the spine for the spinal cord, the basically squeezing of the spinal cord. And this is all very we haven't done any studies in terms of trying to link fluoride levels in bone with the incidence of stenosis, but certainly the increase in spinal stenosis, if in fact that turns out to be true, is tracking alongside, as parallel with the increase in fluoride exposure throughout the population, and that's something to be concerned about. That is a significantly bad event, as you would well know as an orthopedic surgeon.
Well, now, my understanding is that, they use this fluoride fluoride compounds as a spray because it kills various pesticides, and of course when it's sprayed onto a lettuce or other products that we would be eating, then of course we would ingest it, then we would be getting then not only what we were getting in fluoridated water, we would be getting much higher levels of fluoride. Would that be a fair statement?
Oh yes, that's right. A cryolite, a sodium aluminum fluoride, is has been used for some time as a fungicide and basically a pesticide on a number of crops, and grape juice is tends to be one product that has relatively high fluoride levels. There are relatively high fluoride levels in a number of processed foods.
All right. Well, now, what about the effect on fertility? Because this is one of the things that I'm deeply concerned about. This can affect fertility. Certainly, we know that fertility rates are dropping here. More and more couples are having difficulty conceiving children. Is there any suggestion that water fluoridation decreases fertility?
There was a study published by a fellow by the name of Frenney, who worked for the Food and Drug Administration, published back in the early 90s, I believe, or late 80s, which showed a decrease in fertility in connection with areas that had relatively elevated fluoride levels in their drinking water. There are also any number of animal studies that show the same effect, and there's been a lot of work lately coming out of India and China showing effects on male and female fertility, depression of testosterone levels, and such like as that. This substance, fluoride, is a very potent biochemical agent. It has the ability to interrupt what's called hydrogen bonds, essentially the Velcro, for instance, that holds a DNA together is essentially hydrogen bonding. It's links between hydrogen atoms and nitrogen or oxygen atoms, and fluoride can interrupt those kinds of bonds, which can cause problems in gene expression. It can cause enzymes, which are basically big molecules which have a lot of hydrogen bonding in them, which determines the shape. A protein works because it has a particular shape, and it also has certain kinds of active atoms at certain points. If that shape is destroyed or distorted, the enzyme can't work, and that's one of the reasons, for instance, why dental fluorosis is a problem. Well, the enzymes can affect enormous numbers of different bodily functions, and fluoride has been used as what's called a positive control in laboratory studies. When you're looking for an agent that you know will poison an enzyme, fluoride is often the substance of choice to use in those kinds of experiments. So this is something we need to worry about, and in particular to worry about it with respect to cancer.
All right, we're going to talk about the cancer and so many other things, the various endocrine systems that are disrupted. There are studies, we have copies of them out of India, talking about how, of course, the fluoride will decrease testosterone levels. More and more men are having sexual dysfunction, but now we've got Viagra, don't you worry. What are we doing to our people? Why are we giving them a toxic substance in the water? And, of course, and so many other sources of fluoride. Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 on the right down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book
by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. This book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book anywhere that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, our guest this afternoon, Dr. William Hersey. We're talking about fluoride, water fluoridation, and of course, we've been talking about the effect on fertility, the increased breaking of bones, or fragility of bones, certainly the dental fluorosis. But let's talk about cancer. There seems to be almost an epidemic of cancer today. Is there any relationship between water fluoridation and the onset of cancer?
Well, I think there is, and the senior science advisor in the Office of Drinking Water at EPA back in the 90s, Dr. William Marcus, also thinks so, and in fact, that opinion by Dr. Marcus is what got him fired from EPA in 1991. The circumstances around that were these. Way back in the 1970s, was 1978 was the last time that the United States Congress held any hearings on the policy of fluoridation. And during those hearings, Dr. John Yamianis, a biochemist and a giant in the field of public health protection through raising awareness about fluoridation. Dr. Yamianis presented some epidemiology studies that he and Dean Burke and John Graham had done during that time period, which showed an excess of at least 10,000 excess cancer deaths a year being caused by water fluoridation. The Congress was astounded to hear that, and they ordered animal tests to be run on sodium fluoride, which is a surrogate for the chemical that's used mostly in fluoridation systems now. We can come back to that subject, but Congress ordered a study to be done in 1978 on sodium fluoride and its relation to cancer. It took until 1990 for the results of that study. There were many false starts in that study. But finally, in early 1990, the preliminary results of that study were completed and published. And the result was astounding and would have been the end of fluoridation had it been allowed to stand, because the result was that fluoride was found to show there was clear evidence of carcinogenicity in male rats, and it was bone cancer, which is the target organ that you would have expected fluoride to go after. The panic that was evidenced in the fluoridation promotion community was astounding. In essence, what happened was the Department of Health and Human Services convened a special panel to review the study. There was a knockdown, drag-out fight at Research Triangle Park in 1990, and there was a systematic downgrading of all the tumors in that study, including some rare tumors of the liver, hepatocholangiocarcinoma, which is a very rare tumor in mice. Those tumors were all downgraded, and they couldn't make those bone cancers go away.
Now, by downgraded, you mean that they just said that they really weren't cancers, and they weren't as important, or how do they downgrade? How do you downgrade tumors in a scientific study?
That's right. The natural, what's called the natural history of cancer, proceeds from a damage to a cell in which loss of cell reproduction control occurs, and reproduction of the cell takes off in an uncontrolled way. This leads to what is called a new growth or neoplasia, and these new growths can develop further and develop into benign tumors. These benign tumors can progress further and become malignant, in which they will metastasize. They will send out, the cells will detach, and the tumor will go somewhere else, and the tumor becomes wildly uncontrolled at that point. So what's often, and it's not always an easy thing to distinguish among these different types of new growths that occur in biological tissues. What happens is if an animal dies, or at the end of the study, and the animals are sacrificed, and the tissues are sliced very thin, and they're examined under a microscope by what's called a study pathologist. And the study pathologist makes a call on if he sees something that looks like a tumor, he'll mark that down. Then a reviewing pathologist will come in, a cold new person, and reread all of those microscopic slides.
Well, you're going to have to hold that thought. We're going to have to go to a break.
This may be more than you want to know.
No, I want to know all about it, and I'm sure our listeners do, too.
Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Hi, I'm Michael Anthony Perucchia, the Constitution Party's presidential candidate. The themes of my campaign are God, family, and the Republic. I believe our country is in deep trouble because we have turned our backs on the God of the Bible. As George Washington said, it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. Amen. And no institution in America is under more vicious attack than the God-created, God-ordained, man and woman-only marriage. I want to defend that family arrangement, and godly marriage does not need the approval of any government. Finally, the Republic. I would work hard to restore the form of constitutional representative government our founders gave us, which was not a democracy. I hope you'll take a look at my webpage, perucchia2004.com. That's perucka2004.com. And remember, you never waste your vote when you vote for what's right.
My name is Michael Anthony Perucchia. I am running for president of these United States, and I approve this message.
Authorized and paid for by Perucchia 2004.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest today is Dr. William Hersey, who is the Vice President of the Union of the Environmental Protection Agency, scientists, and of course, these are the scientists who are supposedly there to help us and to protect the American public. But the trouble is that it would appear that there are some people within the EPA who will not take a stand on this very important issue, because I personally believe that they're poisoning our people. Now, we're talking about the cancers, and studies were done that showed a frightening increase in cancer, significant increase in cancers in animals were given amounts of fluoride comparable to what we're getting in our drinking water, I assume. But of course, what they did, apparently, they would have people come in and downgrade the original report as if there were some people who did not want this, because there is something called the Delaney legislation. And that means if there is something in a food or a beverage that produces cancer in animals, you can't give it to the people. Of course, unless it's fluoridation of our water supply. So what you're basically saying, Dr. Hersey, is they brought other doctors in who then reviewed the slides and said, oh, no, that this is not really a problem?
Well, they were able to sufficiently downgrade the findings of that study to reduce the findings from clear evidence of carcinogenicity in male rats to equivocal evidence of carcinogenicity in male rats. And by that thinnest hair's breadth, fluoridation was saved.
Now, of course, was this? Do you think this was scientific, or was this more or less the prostitution of science for political purposes?
Well, I think it was prostitution of science for political purposes. There's no question in my mind, nor in the mind of Bill Marcus, and that's what got him fired. He held a press conference, actually, at the National Press Club here in Washington, and essentially said as much. And so EPA trumped up charges against him and fired him. He brought suit against the agency and won his lawsuit. The judge in that case said that he basically didn't believe EPA's witnesses and their testimony about the reasons he was fired, And he said the reason that he felt the reason Bill Marcos was fired because he was expressing this opinion about fluoridation. It was pretty clear that there was orders from on high, and I don't think it was at all limited to EPA. I think it goes much beyond that in terms of where the political pressure for this practice is coming from. It's the Department of Health and Human Services, through its Public Health Service and Centers for Disease Control, have been pushing fluoridation for a long, long time. And there are many professional reputations of individuals of considerable stature, and there's the reputation of the institutions themselves that are heavily invested in fluoridation. I mean, how does the Public Health Service say, you know, that practice we told you about the 60 years ago that was safe and effective for reducing dental caries? Well, guess what? It isn't safe and it isn't effective. But that's all right. Let's move right on. Things like that don't happen. I mean, the government is very loath to admit having made any kind of mistake at any time about anything. Now, the government is backing away, if ever so slowly, to trying to get off of this tiger that they've been riding for some time. In 2001, in August of 2001, the Centers for Disease Control finally issued a report that said that admitted that the earlier theory of the way that fluoride works is no longer valid. They've abandoned it. The idea that you have to have fluoride before your permanent teeth erupt so that the fluoride gets into the permanent tooth and makes it hard and strong and acid resistant, that's a lot of bunk. It doesn't work that way. The way fluoride works, and fluoride does have an ameliorative effect on dental health, but the effect is topical. It's the high concentrations of fluoride that are in toothpaste or that are in fluoride gels that are applied to the teeth. They can, those high levels, in fact, do a couple of good things. They can remineralize the tooth where a small incipient cavity is beginning to develop. It can remineralize that cavity. It can, and those high levels also can interfere with the metabolism of the bacteria in the mouth that produce acid and cause the cavities to form. So, they have to be these very high levels. And you can get that same effect, by the way, by brushing with a high degree of baking soda or table salt. In terms of the bacteria inhibiting kind of effect, at any rate. So, the CDC issued this report that fluoride's benefits now are recognized to be essentially all topical. Now they still say that but fluoridation is a way that when we ingest fluoride, it gets into the body and it becomes into the saliva, and the saliva then continues to put down a certain amount of fluoride in the mouth, and then that has some effect. But the concentrations, they also say in that report that the concentrations in saliva are not high enough to interfere with any bacterial metabolisms or to basically do remineralization. But they are, through this report in August 2001, are beginning the process, I think, of backing away. And more and more responsible dentists across the world, Dr. John Cahoon in New Zealand, the late Dr. John Cahoon, who's a heroic figure, had been a promoter of fluoridation in New Zealand. When the dental authorities there sent him around the world to gather the data to show how effective fluoridation was so that they could promote fluoridation further in New Zealand and Australia. And what he found was that it isn't effective, that sure enough, tooth decay rates are coming down as fluoridation of water systems in the English-speaking countries is going up. But so are dental decay rates coming down everywhere in the world, even where they don't put fluoride in the drinking water. Europe, which is 98% fluoride-free from the drinking water, has as good or better dental health than the United States, and their dental decay rates, the plot of decay incidence versus time is a steeper plot for most of the European countries than it is for the U.S.
Well, now, of course, what you're in essence saying is that the people in Europe really don't fluoridate their water. There's almost no water fluoridation in Europe.
That's right. That's right. There's a little bit in Spain, Great Britain. England has about 10%. Ireland is almost all fluoridated in Ireland. And incidentally, they have terrible dental health problems in Ireland, by the way. The Green Party in Ireland has said that if they take power, they're going to end fluoridation.
There's some people who have said that a fluoride has an effect on the mind. In other words, that this actually tends to lower IQ, that there are studies that show it lowers IQ, and makes people more placid. Is there any truth to that?
The short answer is yes. There are human studies. There's some really good work coming out of China now, where, incidentally, there are no strong industrial interests promoting fluoridation in China as there are in the United States. In the U.S., the phosphate fertilizer industry gets rid of virtually all of its hazardous, corrosive, toxic waste from processing superphosphate fertilizers. This toxic waste is called hydrofluosilicic acid.
The best gift in Fudge House manufacturer. Go right ahead.
They ring the cash register to the tune of somewhere between $100 and $200 million a year through being able to sell this toxic waste instead of having to dispose of it. And that's one of the big driving forces for fluoridation in the U.S. In China, they don't have that situation, and they're doing a lot of good studies on neurotoxicity, effects on intelligence, effects on bone, and there have been some really good epidemiology studies linking a lowered IQ in children with fluoride levels, with increased fluoride levels in a couple of different areas of China. There have been about three such studies, and there's a consistent lowering ranging between 5 and 10 points, IQ points, in areas where, comparing, for instance, in one case, the index of exposure is no endemic dental fluorosis versus an area where there is endemic dental fluorosis. In another one, it's where the drinking water is less than 1 ppm, and another area where the drinking versus an area where the drinking water is at 4 ppm parts per million.
And what you're really saying is that this will actually lower the IQ on children.
Yes. That's correct. There are animal studies which support that, and the other indicator that you had spoken about, the indication of general suppression of the central nervous system. In fact, that finding was first observed back in the days of the Manhattan Project. In two investigative reporters, Joel Griffith and Chris Bryson. Chris Bryson, by the way, has just published a book called The Fluoride Deception.
In fact, we're carrying that book if anybody wants to get it,
Deception. That's a super book. Right. It reads like a novel. It is an extremely good read. And at any rate, they discovered in declassified files from the Manhattan Project that workers who were working with uranium hexafluoride were experiencing lethargy and mental confusion and so forth, there was a request to study the toxicity of fluoride. The memo said they didn't expect that it was the uranium component that was causing the problem, but rather the fluoride component that was causing the problem. That study never took place, even though the request was at first granted. And then about 4 months later, another memo exists in the files that says that this study should be stopped if it has been started, or if it has not started, it should be basically plans abandon this, and we're not going to study it.
Why would anybody not want to find out if it was harmful to the mind, to the brain?
Well, that's a real good question, but apparently it tied into basically liability of the defense contractors in those days, principally DuPont. There was a big release of fluoride from the Deepwater, New Jersey plant of DuPont back in 1944, which did extensive damage to agriculture in South Jersey, New Jersey. There was a lawsuit entered against DuPont by a group of agricultural interests at that time. When that happened, the government called a conference in D.C. that brought the War Department, the Food and Drug Administration, and other agencies together, and essentially said, look, we're at war, and we cannot have our contractors who are producing vital components for national defense subject to these kinds of lawsuits. This could be a catastrophe. And so it was at that point that federal government stepped into the fluoride game, and it was the following year, 1945, when the first so-called two-city studies began to take place around the country, and on it went. So, getting back to the original point, the reason why they didn't want to study the effect on the brain was they didn't want to have any bad news, which could ultimately come out and be used against a defense contractor in a lawsuit. Things stayed that way for a long, long time. The person who was in charge of toxicology in the Manhattan Project was a fellow by the name of Harold Hodge. He ultimately was influential in getting a scientist named Phyllis Mullinex hired at the Forsyth Dental Research Laboratory in Boston. And Phyllis was given the task of studying the toxicology of various products used in dental care. And one of the subjects was fluoride. She wasn't particularly interested in studying that, but she was ordered, essentially, by the folks who were running Forsyth to do this. And she said that Hodge was in her laboratory all the time looking over her shoulder asking about the neurotox study. So one does not know if it was guilty conscience, scientific interest, curiosity, but he was very interested in the work that she was performing. Cutting to the chase, she had developed a very sophisticated way of studying the effect of fluoride on animals. And what she found were basically two different kinds of findings. One, if animals were exposed prenatally, that is, if a female rat was pregnant and she was exposed to fluoride while she was pregnant at certain critical period in the gestation, pups that were born from that pregnant rat were born hyperactive, and they stayed hyperactive throughout their life. That was big finding number one. Big finding number two was that if an animal was exposed to fluoride after weaning, essentially as what would amount in the human case as an older child or as a teenager, or as an adult, that there was suppression of the central nervous system, that they became, as Phyllis characterized it, couch potatoes. So those two findings supported a couple of things. They supported the concerns of the people who were in the Manhattan Project who had observed this depression of mental activity in the workers who were exposed to fluoride there, and it also supports the concern over the fact that fluoride can cross the blood-brain barrier and cause effects on the central nervous system that could include depression of IQ. There's been other work done, biochemical work done since that time. Another study by a group of Chinese scientists led by a fellow by the name of Guan, who dosed animals at the same level that Phyllis Mullinex did and found that there were certain key chemicals in the brain were suppressed, and that explained on a mechanistic basis what Phyllis was seeing clinically, that the these animals were being couch potatoes because there were certain key chemicals that weren't there in the brain that should have been.
All right, well, we're out of time. We could go on, I think, probably another hour, but unfortunately, we can't. So I really appreciate so much for being with us. Our guest has been Dr. William Hersey, who is vice president of the Union of the Environmental Protection Agency Scientists. Thanks so much for being with us today.
My pleasure, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye, and God bless.
Bye.
Tape set, genocide, and one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well tie up cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. This is a wonderful means of teaching your children at home and getting them out of government schools. The Robinson Homeschool Curriculum is designed to give excellence in education. It's a program. It's on 22 CDs designed to take your child from grammar school all the way through high school graduation, and it costs $199.95. You actually get the lesson plans, you get the tests, you get the answers to the tests, you get all of the textbooks except for the Saxon math textbooks, a wonderful way to educate your children. Let me recommend this to you. Dr. Robinson used this program on his own children. The Robinson Homeschool Program is available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And if you love your children, get them out of government school just as soon as possible. The Sanjian Company manufactures quality electronic products, so if you need a good shortwave radio, consider the Sanjian 505 AM-FM shortwave receiver. It comes with a 25-foot antenna, an AC adapter, a soft carrying case, and costs $149.95 plus shipping. You can read about the Sanjian 505 radio and some of the other great Sanjian products that we carry at www.radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. You can order a Sanjian 505 radio by calling 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. Visit our website and consider purchasing a Christmas gift for a friend or someone you love. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course I want to remind all of our listeners about the November 6th all-day conference we're going to be having at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course here where I live on the North Shore of Monterey Bay, and they're going to be fascinating speakers. We're going to have lunch, and of course they're going to start early in the morning. You probably start about 8:45 and go through until 5 in the evening, so if you can possibly make it or bring your friends or family, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then we, of course, want to talk a little bit about fluoride. We carry Chris Bryson's book, The Fluoride Deception. And ladies and gentlemen, they're lying to us. They're poisoning our children. They're knocking down their IQs. But, of course, one reason they're doing this is for fertility. And we have an article out of the Family Planning Perspective back in 1957 where they were talking about how you could reduce population. Why we want, of course, to legalize abortion. Remember, abortion wasn't legalized until 73. We want, of course, to encourage homosexuality. That's what's behind the whole homosexual movement, financed by the people of great wealth who want to control the population, but they talk about putting something in our water to create infertility. We have Frenny's report that Dr. Hersey referred to, where they talk about the relationship between fluoridated water and, of course, lowering the fertility rates. And, of course, if you have low fluoride levels, you have high fertility rates. They're poisoning our children. On our unborn children. And of course, we know what it does to the mind, lowering the IQ, and some children, or at least the pups, the animals we know would be hyperactive if they got it during the pregnancy. After birth, they'd come out, be couch potatoes. Why are they doing this sort of thing? Well, I believe they're evil and wicked people. We have a great four-tape set on water fluoridation. And of course, we carry the book, Chris Bryson's book, The Fluoride Deception. And they're poisoning us, of course, with aspartame. If you haven't, of course, read the books we carry on aspartame, Dr. Roberts' books, over 1,000 pages, it's almost like an encyclopedia, are going to how it poisons literally every aspect of our bodies, including our minds, our fertility. Certainly, it's responsible for the epidemic of obesity we're hearing about so much today, and, of course, why so many men have sexual dysfunction, because it poisons the reproductive system and lowers the testosterone levels. Well, why isn't Rush Limbaugh telling us this? Why? Because, of course, if he did, he wouldn't be on 600 stations across America. So we have Dr. Roberts' book. We have Dr. Blaylock's book entitled Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kill. We carry Dr. Blaylock's other book that has chapters on mercury poisoning and fluoride intoxication and aspartame, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And we think it's a great, great book. We have a four-tape set on aspartame. We have a great new video. It's entitled Sweet Misery. Sweet Misery, and it interviews with people and experts across the country. There's a direct relationship to degenerative nervous disease. Of course, aspartame is what you find in Diet Pepsi. Who was the spokesman for Diet Pepsi? A man named Michael Fox. He had Parkinson's disease by the time he was 40. I wonder why. Well, they know that this will produce these neurodegenerative diseases. They're poisoning our people. They're poisoning our children. All of these things are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Four tape sets on aspartame poisoning. Four tape set on the fluoride, water fluoridation, and the book, The Fluoride Deception, book, Dr. Roberts' book, Aspartame Epidemic, the Aspartame Disease, the Forgotten Epidemic, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, the video, Sweet Misery. Get this information. Help us to get the truth out across America while we can, because the mind you save may be that of your son or your grandson. They're poisoning our children. Why would anybody do that? You need to get the four tape set, The New Order of the Barbarians, and you'll understand. There truly are evil people out there across the world. Pray for America. Pray for revival, because I believe God's judgment is coming on America if we don't turn back to God. And please remember to pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.